G-I-G.
Spelled gag.
G-A-G. G-I-G-G. G-A-G-J. Gag.
Ain't it swell to sing a spell? Spell why?
W-H-Y.
Spell way.
W-A-Y. W-H-Y-Y-W-A-Way.
That's okay-ish. Now it's time for all the listening students to spell. Now here are the words, and you fill in the blank. All set? Let's go. Spell EO.
E-E-L.
Spell ill.
I-L-L.
Spell elf.
E-L-F.
Spell flu.
F-L-U.
Spell pot.
P-O-T.
Spell top.
P-O-T.
Spell axe.
A-X-E.
Spell lax.
L-A-X.
L-A-X. That's Los Angeles. You are absolutely correct. You're listening to The Swing Era. I'm your host, Bud Pearson. If you have a comment or request, by all means, email us. Our address is swingera3545@gmail.com. That's swingera3545@gmail.com. Back to the Swing Era now. The year is 1940 with the Jimmy Lunsford Orchestra.
But pardon me, sister, can you spare a dime?
That's your red wagon. That's your red wagon. That's your little red wagon. Keep on rolling it along.
do up here in Harlem, though. Someone started trucking. As soon as the news got around, the folks downtown came up to Harlem, saw everybody trucking. It didn't take long before the hi-hats were doing it, Park Avenue and it, all over town. You see them scuffling, shuffling, trucking along. It spread like a forest blaze, became a craze, and thanks to Harlem now, everybody's trucking.
Looking at me for? Ain't gonna leave me too sorry and still no more. No, sir, no more. Too many times you got under my skin. I'm through with you, old square face. Ain't gonna get me again. No, sir, ain't gonna get me again. You keep hanging round for? What's that you say? It's time to begin? Well, just once more. Might as well bring those pink elephants in. Man, I'm feeling low, old square face. You know, you got me again. Yes, sir. Got me that time.
Oh, you got me too, Wingy. the voice of Wingy Minone with his classic spoken vocal on the Gene Gifford recording of Squareface. This gem, recorded in May 1935, featured the clarinet of Matty Matlock, Maury Samuel's trombone, and Bunny Berrigan's trumpet. Well, just once more. And from a couple months later, Mills' Blue Rhythm Band with a current pop tune, Truckin'. The vocal was Lucky Millinder, and the great soloists were Edgar Hayes' piano, Red Allen's trumpet, and J.C. Higginbotham's trombone. Truckin'. And starting off the second half, Jimmy Lunsford's July 1940 Columbia recording of Red Wagon, featuring the Dandridge sisters, Dorothy, Vivian, and Etta, with an arrangement by Roger Seeger. That's your Red Wagon. Keep on rolling it long.
I say, Fred, old potato, about this yam, has it anything to do with Popeye, that sailor person?
Popeye? What do you mean?
Well, it seems to me I've heard him mention something about I yam what I yam.
All Ray. Haven't you seen this latest dance called Yam?
Oh, you mean the yam?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
I'm not surprised, Ray, but anyway, listen. If you want to learn this yamming art, put your heels together and your toes apart. Stretch your two arms out. That's the way to start. Yam. First, you're side by side, then you walk it slow. Now, you turn around and you're heel and toe. When that long note plays, away you go. Yam. Any yamateur can do it. Listen closely while I cue it. A left, right, 1, 2, 3, yam. Now, have I made myself quite clear, old scout?
Yes, but Fred, old boy, what's it all about?
It's about driving me crazy. You figure it out. Yam. Coming, Ray. Can you yam it yet?
Well, I can do the Y, but I'm not quite set. I've still got the A and the M to get.
Yam. Look, you make this thing sound like a spelling bee. You don't spell yam, you dance it, see?
Yes, but Fred...
Oh, never mind. Just follow me. Yam.
Some dancing and singing fun on the swing era, Fred Astaire with Ray Noble, as they did the dance craze of March 1938, the Yam. And before that, this guy with Jack Jenny's orchestra in January 1940, his name, Kirby Walker. Kirby sang If You Knew Susie, like I know Susie. And kicking off the set, Johnny Long's September 1940 gem with the band chanting In a Shanty in Old Shantytown. We're singing and swinging on the swing era.
And when you're dead, you're done. So let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll. Don't sit there mumbling and talking trash. If you want to have a ball, you gotta go out and spend some cash. Let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll. Hey, Mr. Landlord, lock up all the doors. When the police comes around, tell them the joint is closed. Let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Don't care if you're young or old. Go out and let the good times roll. Hey! everybody, Mr. Jordan's in town. I got a dollar and a quarter, and I'm just Rand the Clown. But don't let nobody play me cheap. I got 50 cents more that I'm gonna keep. So let the good time roll. Let the good time roll. Don't care if you're young or old. Get together and let the good times roll. Yeah, no matter whether it's rainy weather, birds of a feather gotta stick together. So get yourself under control. Go out and get together and let the good times roll.
Wake up some dawn and open your eyes to a great big surprise, baby. Don't forget it, you'll regret it after I'm gone. You better think twice, it won't be so nice a little bit later on.
While my heart keeps singing, Like a shadow, I'm drifting, hoping I'll find my love, my love. Who knows, someday someone may come along and change the song to happiness. Until the darkness breaks in the dawn, I'll just go on, I guess, chasing shadows. Just a dreamer am I, hoping I'll find the rainbow when the shadows roll by.
Heard it on the Swing Era, the forgotten voice of Putney Dandridge with his June 1935 Chasing Shadows. Putney in fast company with Chew Berry's tenor and the trumpet of Roy Eldridge. And before that, Bunny Berrigan back with his April 1936 band featuring a vocal by Chick Bullock on A Little Bit Later On. In addition to Bunny's trumpet, we heard Artie Shaw's clarinet and Joe Bushkin's piano. And kicking off the final set from June 1946, Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five. With some good advice, Louis sang, "Let the Good Times Roll." And that's it, Swing Era Bands and Singers. That's it. It's time to take the records back to the vault. Ah, so much music and so little time. This is Bud Pearson, hoping you've enjoyed Bands and Singers of the Swing Era today. If you did, why not join us next week, same time, when we'll present more artists who created the styles and the sounds of the Swing Era. We'll see you then, and remember, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Atherton, Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District, home of the Woodside High School Wildcats, online at kcea.org.
Once again.
again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for yet another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll enjoy Arch Obler's Plays with Crazy Town. But first, on the lighter side, stay tuned and meet My Friend Irma. My Friend Irma was first heard on CBS in early 1947. The program bore the unmistakable stamp of Cy Howard, who just a year earlier had given us Life with Luigi. Irma was a law firm stenographer by trade. She lived in a ramshackle apartment run by the crusty old Mrs. O'Reilly. Her roommate, Jane Stacy, was almost her opposite, completely sane, dependable, logical in every way that Irma was not. Good for one walk-on per show was Professor Kropotkin, who lived in the downstairs flat. The parts were played by radio's best voices. Kathy Lewis was Jane, John Brown played Al, Hans Conried was Professor Kropotkin, and Gloria Gordon was Mrs. O'Reilly. Irma ran Monday nights from 1947 for Camel Cigarettes. In 1953-54, its final season, My Friend Irma was carried by a variety of sponsors on Tuesday evenings. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with My Friend Irma and The Big Secret from March of 1948. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen, Sally Folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again, to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you, sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
Lever Brothers Company, makers of Swan, presents
My Friend Irma.
Starring Mary Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship when other friendships have been forgotten. Theirs will still be hot. My Friend Irma.
Everybody knows that two and two make four. But I have news for you. This does not apply if you happen to live with Irma Peterson. Take the other day, Irma was in the kitchen holding a pan in her hand and doing cartwheels. So I said, honey, what's the idea of doing cartwheels while you hold that pan?
Well, the recipe says place ingredients in the pan and keep turning.
Well, I might give that a second thought, but at the present moment, there's no time for it. My employer, and incidentally, the guy I love, has just phoned that he's coming over on a matter of great importance, and I can't imagine what it can be. Irma?
Yes, Jane?
What do you think Richard has on his mind? What's the matter, sweetie? You're crying.
He's going to propose. Now I'll be all alone with just Al. I'll have nobody.
Oh. Honey, don't be ridiculous.
Oh, please, Jane, I've seen it coming. The last two times Richard was here, he had that dizzy look in his eyes.
That was only because you were engaging him in conversation. Irma, I refuse to let your imagination run away with the two of us. Now, that must be Richard. Now, don't let him know that we were discussing anything personal.
I won't.
Okay. Come in.
Hello, Jane. Hello, Irma.
Hello, Richard.
Oh, Richard, we were just talking about you.
Oh, me?
Oh, it was nothing personal. We were just wondering if you came over to propose.
Irma!
You know, Richard, you'll make a wonderful father.
Irma, will you please go in the kitchen and dry the dishes?
But they're dry.
Well, wet them and dry them over.
Irma, I have something personal that I'd like to discuss with Jane.
Oh, I knew I was right. Something told me. I guess it's my feminine institution.
You'll just have to forgive this outburst, Richard. You understand Irma.
No, I don't. But then again, who does? Well, Jane, I've just been on the phone to Washington. You know that block of war surplus buildings that I discussed with you?
Yeah.
Well, the group that I represent feels that they'd make a wonderful recreation center for New York's underprivileged children.
Oh, but Richard, don't you think other interests would want to grab them for commercial purposes?
Yes, that's the great danger. But if I can see Senator McLean in Washington tomorrow, I'm sure that we can swing this recreation project for the children before the others even know what's happening.
Oh, you know, Richard, Irma was right. You would make a wonderful father.
Well, that's an entirely different sort of project. Jane, I'm leaving for Washington in the morning, and just for the day, and I'd like you to come along.
Oh, I'm practically packed.
And I'll help you finish, Jane.
Irma, were you listening at the door?
Oh, just when it's so important that my trip be kept a secret.
Oh, I'll keep it a secret. Oh, gee, Jane, I'd love to go to Washington.
Oh, but, sweetie, this is a business trip.
Oh, but I've never been to Washington. Everyone goes there. Even my graduating class went there.
Why didn't you go?
I didn't have anything to wear. Besides, I didn't graduate. Oh, please, Richard, can't I go with you and Jane?
Well, all right, Irma. I don't mind taking one extra along, and, well, seeing Washington might prove very educational for you.
Oh, you're right, and I'll be able to see for myself the difference in electricity down there.
The difference in electricity?
Yes, New York is AC, but Washington is DC.
Honey, that means District of Columbia.
Listen, Irma, I don't mind taking you along, but remember that this matter must be kept an absolute secret. This is what we call top drawer stuff.
Don't worry, I'll pack everything.
Jane, will you call American Airlines and then try to get reservations at the Statler Hotel for me?
All right, Richard, I will.
I'll see you later. Goodbye, girls.
Bye, Richard.
Goodbye. Oh, Jane, I'm so excited.
Well, I'm glad, honey. But remember now, no one is to know that Richard is going to Washington.
Oh, just have confidence in me, Jane. I think I'll get out my suitcase and pack.
Well, there stands Irma packing for her trip to Washington. Such packing you have never seen. She's using the bag that Al gave her for Christmas. Al says it's airplane luggage. To me, it looks like it was dropped from 10,000 feet. Now Irma's putting in the things she'll need. Now she's opening the bag and putting in the largest purse I have ever seen. I suppose that's because she's heard that in Washington, everyone passes the buck. But now here's something I can't understand. Irma, why are you taking along your old X-ray pictures?
Well, the doctor says I'm all right, but I still want to have them checked by the Secretary of the Interior.
Oh. Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. Oh, girls, I'm so shaken. What an experience I just had.
What happened?
I was standing on the corner and a gas station blew up. So I ran across the street. As soon as I got there, a great big electric sign falls down from the explosion. So I run across to the other side. I'm no sooner on the sidewalk than one of the gas pumps comes down and just misses my head. So I run to the next corner.
Oh, that's dreadful. Was there a policeman around?
Yeah, I got 3 tickets for jaywalking. What a day. Irma, darling, what are you doing with that suitcase?
I'm going to Washington with Jane and Richard.
Oh, Irma, why must you broadcast everything?
Washington? Janie, you think it'd be possible for me to come along?
Oh, well, Professor, this is a business trip, and
well, I'll tell you what's on my mind. As you know, I have slowly been developing a liking for Mrs. O'Reilly.
Yes, we know. We're thrilled about it.
Yeah, but we still fight day and night. Now, I have heard that a different environment often makes a change in people. So I was thinking, since you're going to Washington, I would take Mrs. O'Reilly along. Of course, I realize the danger. I'm liable to walk her past the Smithsonian Institute and I'll never see her again.
Well, Professor, I can't invite you to join us. You see, Richard's going on a highly confidential type of business, and I just haven't the right to.
Oh, I understand, Jenny. Have a nice trip, girls. Mrs. O'Reilly and I can wait. Someday I'll take her to the Petrified Forest. Maybe there she'll look a little younger. Goodbye.
Well, Jane, I've almost finished packing. Oh, Jane, have you seen that large envelope Al left here?
You mean that petition he sent weeks ago to his congressman?
Yes, maybe while we're in Washington, we can get somebody interested in it.
Irma, I have read that petition, and believe me, it has no chance. Congress will never raise the unemployment check to $300 a week. Come in.
Hello, Jane. Hiya, chicken.
Hello, Al, honey. Oh, Jane and I are getting ready to go to Washington with Richard tomorrow.
Oh, Irma, I just got through telling you it's a secret, honey.
Going to Washington, huh? Too bad you can't stick around in my moment of triumph. My greatest deal.
Is anything like your last one? You know, pumping up cranberries and selling them for apples?
No, sir. This one is a blessing to young lovers. A money-saving sofa.
A money-saving sofa?
Uh-huh. It's got a built-in mallet. And when you're sitting there with your girl, you step on a pedal, and the mallet knocks out her kid brother who's hiding there waiting to blackmail you for a quarter. Great, huh, chicken? Chicken, why do you look so depressed?
Oh, well, I'm going to miss you when I'm in Washington.
I'm going to miss you too, chicken. Don't like the idea of you being on the loose in Washington. In that confused state that you're always in, you're liable to wind up in some high government position.
Have a good time if you're not with me.
Feel the same way, chicken. Don't like it when you're away. Too much temptation for a young man when he's alone in this town. Pretty girls giving me the come on. I'm only human. How long can a guy stand in the corner tilting pinball machines?
Now listen, the two of you. If all this is for my benefit, you're just wasting your time. This is a business trip, not a convention for the Lonely Hearts Club.
Well, but Jane, we won't be in your way. I know. I'll go with Al, and the professor can take Miss O'Reilly.
And we'll meet you when your business is finished.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. Richard always stops at the Statler in Washington. You can meet us there at 5.
That's the spirit, Jane. And Irma, since I'm your escort, I want one thing understood.
What, Al?
As long as I'm taking you, I insist on paying my own way.
Irma, do you ever get the feeling that you're running around with Diamond Jim Brady?
Oh, you just don't see Al the way I do. I know he has no money or a job or future, but I think for a failure, he's very successful.
Thank you, chicken. Well, I'll break the good news to the professor, and I better start packing. What am I talking about packing? Everything I own, I'm wearing. Well, so long, chicken. See you later.
Oh, Al, aren't you going to kiss me?
Okay, chicken. Here.
Al, why do you always glance from side to side while you're kissing me?
An old movie habit. Keep looking around for the usher. Well, see you later, chicken.
Oh, gee, Jane, you're making so many people happy with this trip.
Thanks, sweetie, but remember now, you're the only one who knows why Richard's going to Washington. And if anybody finds out, those kids will never have a recreation center.
Oh, please, Jane, I won't say anything. You yourself have often said when I open my mouth, nothing comes out.
Yeah. All right, honey. I'll pack as soon as I get back from the beauty parlor. I better hurry. See you, honey.
Hello?
Hello, my name is Stanley Adams of the International Press. I understand this is the home of Richard Rhinelander's secretary. Are you she?
She? No, I'm not she. This is me. Irma Peterson.
Oh, well, could I speak to Miss Stacy?
Well, she just went out. Why don't you call when we come back from Washington?
Oh, so you're going to Washington? With Mr. Rhinelander, I suppose?
Look, don't pump me, because I'm not going to tell you about Senator McLean and the underprivileged children.
Well, I guess there's nothing more to be said. Got to make the 9 o'clock edition. Goodbye.
Goodbye. You'll have to get up early in the morning to fool me, and even then I'm not awake.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Well, it's morning, and Richard and I have just arrived in Washington, and so far, so good. In a way, I'm happy that Irma and Al and the professor and Mrs. O'Reilly won't bother us for a few hours yet. I know I'd have a dreadful time explaining the sites of interest to Irma. I've already described the Lincoln Memorial to her. Despite everything I say, she still can't understand why Lincoln had to live in a log cabin when he had such a beautiful building available. Hello? Yes? Well, my name is Miss Stacy. Yes, I'm Mr. Rhinelander's secretary. We're trying to contact Senator McLean. Oh. Well, I'll try again.
No luck, Jane?
Same story, Richard.
I don't know what to think. Say, do you suppose someone else might have gotten to the senator before us?
Oh, no, Richard. I don't see how. Irma's the only one who knows anything about it, and I'm sure she's kept it a secret. That is, I'm as sure as you ever can be about Irma. I wonder who that could be. Come in. Oh, no. It's the four of you.
Yes, it's us, Jane.
Hello, Jamie.
Hiya, Rich.
Hello, Al.
Hello, folks.
I thought you wanted to join us until 5 o'clock.
Oh, but you didn't say a.m. or p.m., and we didn't want to be late. Are you angry, Jane?
Oh, no, honey, but Richard can't contact Senator McLean. Irma, are you sure you didn't tell anyone?
Oh, you know me better than that.
Well, there's one more contact I can try. A friend of my father's. I'll be back soon, Jane.
Oh, Jane, we've been having such fun visiting the places of interest.
Yeah, but not having much luck. Walked around the Mint 4 times. The windows were open, but the wind was blowing the wrong way.
That's too bad, Al, and you couldn't get any samples.
Just one of them breaks. Tell me, Jane, is Richard really having trouble contacting the senator?
Oh, he's tried everything.
Well, when you're in a spot like this, there's only one man to call.
Who else?
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Al. Yeah, I heard you were in Washington. How'd you do? No luck, huh? They won't make hijacking legal.
Oh, Al, stop wasting time.
Now, hold it, Jane. Never can tell. Joe got a problem. Want to contact a senator. Now, who of the Washington senators do you know? Who? Play second base. No, Joe. Not them senators. The kind that don't play ball. You know a Senator McLean? Oh, you don't? What's your hurry, Joe? You got a pose for the government? Oh, they're taking your fingerprints. Well, thanks for trying, Joe. Goodbye.
You don't have to tell us, Al. We'll just wait and see what Richard accomplishes. Have some candy, Mrs. O'Reilly?
Oh, thank you, Jeanie. This has been such a delightful trip. The professor's been so flattering. He keeps admiring my dress.
Oh. Well, it is unusual.
Thank you. It was my grandmother's wedding gown. It's what they call colonial style.
Yes, and there's room enough in the back for Benjamin Franklin to fly his kite.
Isn't he the kidder? When we were at the statue of George Washington, the guide said, "This is the father of our country." And the professor pointed to me and said, "Meet his mother."
Well, I'm glad you're all having fun. Especially you, Professor.
Well, Janie, this trip is a blessing. Mrs. O'Reilly and I have never gotten along so well. You know, it's a funny thing. When I first saw Mrs. O'Reilly, I said, I wouldn't go near that old crow. And here I am, a bird fancier.
Oh, Professor, you make me feel like a girl again.
How do you like that? In 1 minute, I knocked off 100 years. Seriously, Mrs. O'Reilly, the reason I'm getting to like you is because we see more eye to eye. Like when we visited Congress, you said the Republicans were saving this country.
I said no such thing. I said the Democrats were saving it from the Republicans.
Now, wait a minute. You mean to stand there and tell me that the Democrats ever had one man to compare with Dewey?
Well, I don't think he should be president just because he once captured Manila.
Keep out of this, Irma. Mrs. O'Reilly, you mean I brought you down here all the way to Washington to find out you're a Democrat?
And what's wrong with being a Democrat? I happen to know a few things about these matters.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do.
Look, Mrs. O'Reilly, don't think you know everything about politics just because you helped Betsy Ross make the flag.
Why, you old broken-down fiddle player, you.
Me you call broken down? By Humpty Dumpty with six unions couldn't put you together again.
Why, you!
Well, go ahead, say it.
For goodness sakes, please, we'll be thrown out of the hotel.
Well, she's not going to talk to me that way. I'm getting out of here.
And so am I. And, Professor, if you ever dare talk to me again, I'll split your ticket. I'm going.
Oh, please. All of you, please.
Jane.
Richard, you're white. What's wrong?
Look at this newspaper headline.
Let me see it. Richard Rhinelander arrived in Washington to negotiate for purchase of a group of war surplus buildings. Oh, how awful. Oh, who could have...
Well, the article is bylined by a New York reporter, Stanley Adams.
Oh, what a coincidence. That's a nice young man who phoned me. Irma. Oh, no. You didn't tell him Richard was coming to Washington.
Well, I didn't say on what plane.
Oh.
Chicken, I know you're the champ at messing things up, but what are you trying to do, make the Olympic team?
I didn't mean anything. Oh, Irma, now the whole recreation project is ruined. Someone else will beat us to it.
No, it's not my pride that matters. It's just all those kids.
I don't know why you all have to pick on me. Other people do things wrong. After all, this is Washington.
Now, honey, there's no sense in crying over spilt milk.
Go ahead, blame that on me, too. Goodbye, all of you.
I think I'd better go after her. If she ever gets in that Pentagon building, she'll be 60 years old before we find her.
No, Al, let her walk it off. She'll feel better.
Well, I guess we can catch the next train. No sense in trying to see the senator now.
Everyone picks on me. My best friends, even Al. Wait until the next time he wants to dance or a date, I'll say, listen, you, I'm through, and it won't do you any good to come crawling to me on your knees.
Lady, can I help it if I'm short?
I was talking to myself.
What's this place? The Ford Theater. Oh, mister.
Yes, miss?
What's playing here?
Playing? Madam, this is the Ford Theater. It's now a national museum. Here is where Lincoln was shot by John Wilkes Booth. Now, would you like to go in?
No, thank you. I'd rather wait until the picture changes. Well, Al, did you find her?
No, and I've been all over. I went out to Mount Vernon. I think she might have been there because they said a blonde girl dropped in, said she wanted a pound of Martha Washington candy.
Oh, Al, we've already missed our train. Shall we call the police?
Don't like to do business with people out of town. Let's wait.
What's the matter, lady? Are you lost?
No. I just want to sit here and think about what I've done to those poor children.
Well, how many children have you?
Thousands.
What?
And they're underprivileged. I mean, they're not mine. What's the difference?
Pardon me, officer.
Oh, good afternoon, Senator.
I was sitting on the next bench. I couldn't help but overhear the young lady.
Well, she doesn't make much sense to me. Maybe you better talk to her. Good day, Senator.
Good day. may I sit down, miss?
If you want to. Say, did that office call you, Senator?
That's right.
Well, what are you doing here?
I like it here. It's my only chance to get away from people who keep pestering me for their own selfish wants. Have you ever been to Washington before, miss?
No.
What have you seen so far?
Well, I saw the theater where Lincoln drove his Ford into a booth.
I beg your pardon?
Well, what's the difference? You wouldn't like the picture. Then I went out to Mount Vernon.
Yeah?
They don't have any candy.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, and I saw Washington's monument.
Quite high, isn't it?
Yes, I wonder how he got down when he finished it.
Just a moment, miss. I've never run into anyone quite, start slowly. Now, where are you from?
My home is in New York. I don't think I can give you my name or phone number because I'm going around with Al.
Al?
Yes. I'm angry at him. You see, I came down here with Richard Rhinelander about some underprivileged children.
Richard Rhinelander?
Yes, Senator. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you by your first name. But, gosh, it's so nice of you to talk to me like this. I miss my mother and father so.
Well, are they dead?
No, they're married. Well, I'd better be running along, sir. Goodbye. Hello, everybody.
Oh, honey, for goodness sakes, where have you been?
Oh, nowhere in particular, just killing time. Talking to a nice man.
Oh, well, I'm relieved. We've been waiting for you. Well, come on, Richard, we're set.
All right, let's go. Oh, that darn phone. Hello?
Mr. Rhinelander?
Yes?
This is Senator McLean.
Oh, yes, Senator. Well, I've been trying to reach you all day.
Well, I thought it was another favor seeker, but now I know differently. I see your message here, and I want you to have those buildings for the Children's Recreation Center.
Well, Senator, I'm overwhelmed. But to what do we owe this sudden decision?
Well, I ran into a young lady who said she was a friend of yours, a blonde.
A blonde? Well, hey, that must be Irma.
I don't know how she got that way. But we must never let it happen to any other New York child. Name is yours. Goodbye.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear.
My Friend Irma, presented by Swan, another fine product of Lieber Brothers Company, was produced by Cy Howard. Tonight's script was written by Cy Howard and Park Levy, and starred Mary Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane. The part of Professor Kropotkin was played by Hans Conry. Friends, we all know that the Red Cross has a bigger job to do than before the war. Did you know, for example, that today the program for veterans alone is nearly 12 times greater? For the armed forces, nearly 5 times greater? Well, those are a few of the facts, a few of the really serious problems the Red Cross must meet. Yes, this year the Red Cross needs $75 million to bring help and relief to millions of people. So please give generously. Tune in next week 1 hour earlier and listen to the Lux Radio Theater, immediately followed by My Friend Irma. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From March 29th of 1948, it's been My Friend Irma with The Big Secret. In a moment, Arch Obler's famous plays series with Crazy Town, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
The
the sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Arch Obler's Plays was a series of original dramas by the medium's Wonder Boy. The late 1930s had been a golden age of experimental drama on radio. NBC had its long-running Radio Guild and, in March of 1939, added Arch Obler's Plays. Arch Obler grew up in Chicago, one of the busiest centers of radio drama in the 1930s. Following his initial success at NBC, Obler began writing mini-dramas for the network's Grand Hotel, went from there to the Rudy Valley Show, and in 1936 landed at an eerie little midnight program called Lights Out. Arch Obler's Plays ran the gamut of tragedy to fantasy to the same kind of horror that he'd done on Lights Out. His fame spread, and top-flight stars began to ask for roles in his plays, including the likes of Betty Davis, Edmund O'Brien, Frank Lovejoy, and even James Cagney. Plays closed in March of 1940. In April of 45, Obler turned up on Mutual with a new version of Plays. By then, Norman Corwin had become poet in residence at CBS and a master of the form Obler had helped create in the late 1930s. Many of Obler's dramas strongly resembled Corwin's in style and content. Plays ran through the summer on Mutual and ended in October of 1945. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Arch Obler's Plays and Crazy Town. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Arch Obler's Plays. On the winds of the night, we bring you a story whispered in the night.
Let the democratic powers have no illusions. We cannot be intimidated. We are ready. Our manpower is ready. Our youth stands ready. A vital youth that has been tried and tested in the proving grounds, even as our armaments haven't been tested. A youth that understands the meaning of discipline, order, dynamic obedience to the leader and to the state. A youth that laughs with all of us and to the weak decadence of democratic liberalism. A youth that does the skies sing with their wings, the wings of courage and daring, bringing the truer civilization and liberty to people who wait for it eagerly and with hope. Yes, I repeat, even now, the skies sing with their wings, the wings of daring and ambition and glory.
Harlock.
Yes, Captain?
Isn't that the village?
No, I don't think so.
It is, I tell you.
But, Captain, the order says the village was won by a water hole. I see no water down there.
What is the difference?
For the orders.
I'm giving your orders. Drop down 500 feet. I don't want to miss the beggars.
As you say, Captain.
They're all the same anyway. What's the difference if it is another village? We need all our petrol to get back. All right. Level off. Hold it. Two little presents and home we go nonstop. I never disappoint a lady.
Should I keep circle?
Of course. Of course. This is the moment I like, Marlowe. My hand on the release lever. The leader is right. Power is the greatest thing in the world.
I know it is another village.
Marlowe, you're a fool. What difference does it make? The orders were to teach them a lesson. Well, one village is like another. Those beggars down there are of the same breed. Hold it steady. The lesson begins. There. And again. Climb!
The order said we were to machine gun the
master. Machine gun what? Two holes in the ground. Home, you old woman. And fast. She's very pretty. And not quite.
And let all the world hear the contribution of our youth to the civilizing forces is one which all history will remember. It is an evidence of the revitalization of great ideals, the true ideals of power, and force and the everlasting glory of righteous might. Youth, our glorious youth, flying free in its newfound purpose and nobility. We salute you! We salute you!
Captain. Captain, wake up.
What do you want?
The wireless is not working again.
Huh?
If you will take over, I will fix it.
All right.
Fog, huh? Mano.
Yes, Captain.
When did the fog come up?
While you were asleep.
I do not like fog. Well, haven't you got that wireless going yet?
It is no use.
Huh?
Resistance burned out. There is nothing I can do. The fog grows thicker.
I have eyes, haven't I? Here, you take off.
I was expecting
Shut
that.
Shut your mouth. Here, take over.
All right. Captain, do you remember the time in the Plaza of Heroes they gave you a medal because...
Stop talking. Put her up high.
Might as well. No clear sky down here. Is this high enough for you, Captain? Or does it make you dizzy?
Are you out of your head?
When the fog grows very thick, you lose your head, eh, Captain?
Shut your mouth. I order it.
I was remembering something else. 6 months ago, when the Minister of War made you the captain, remembering his speech, he said for courageous, skillful flying...
I warn you to stop talking.
For all these months, I wanted to ask you one question, Vittoria. Whose was the skill and whose was the courage? Yours? Mine.
When we are on the ground...
If we are on the ground, it will be with my skill. Mine. Look. The fog grows thicker and
Stop
thicker.
Stop.
You can see with your own eyes. Thick fog. Our wireless dead. If I turn the plane over to you now, would you be as brave as the medal says you are?
Close your mouth. For the last time, I tell you.
The brave Captain Victoria... who never flies alone.
Shut your mouth.
In the sun, it is your mouth that dares. In the fog, it is mine. A frightening thing, the fog.
Eh, Captain?
Like something alive that comes out of the ground and tries to pull flyers down to the hole in hell where they come from.
Is there no way to close your mouth?
Why don't you blast a few holes now through the fog so we can see where we're going?
This is the last time you fly with me, Big Mouth. The last... Mouth.
What?
Huh? Malo, report this.
Got the petrol.
What?
Petrol line broken. Close the valve.
Malo. Malo, falling.
Get away from me.
Can't see anything. The fog.
Stop pulling at me, you fool.
Malo, get me down. I don't want to die. I can't.
No, it's not a mark. Leave me alone. The fog.
See, Yosin. We're crashing it. I won't die. I can't.
Wait. Look. What I saw. Yes, they are over land.
No, there is nothing in
fire. There is land, I tell you, I saw
it. Yes, I see it. I am safe. I won't die. I will get down. I will.
Down.
We're down.
Yes.
I told you I would get you out of this. I told you.
Mano, ahead. The wall.
Mano, look up.
The wall stops!
Victor. Victoria.
What?
It's Marlow. Where are you?
So dark. Oh. I see you. Bed next to me.
Marlow.
Victoria. You all right?
My legs broke.
Well.
My own pain is less now.
Don't talk. Help.
No, Victoria. This honor is mine as well as yours.
Huh?
My legs, too.
You lie. You're all right. You want me to be in pain.
Stop it.
Jealous of my honors. You
Stop
always
it.
Were. You...
Spirit! Who wants to listen to you? I want to know where I am. I want to know how badly our ship was hurt. When we got here. For long, I was unconscious.
May I have the pleasure of answering your questions, good gentlemen?
Who in Marlow? Who's there?
I don't know. So dark. My name, gentlemen, is Frederick Gibbon. Doctor of medicine.
Doctor? My legs, the pain.
The pain is quite secondary, believe me. But you must stop it.
At once. I order it.
Order?
Yes, order. You don't know who I am. I'm Captain Victoria.
Wait. I assure you I know your identity is quite well, good gentlemen.
What do you mean?
Your identification papers were quite in order. And now, a little more light, perhaps?
Yes.
That'll fit you.
If you will pardon me.
No, stay. The pain.
Shut your mouth, will you? How can he help us until he brings light?
But the pain.
Pain, pain. Did you expect to fall out of the clouds and wake up with the bands playing and a couple of women at your side?
I dare you.
You're a fool, Vittoria. Miracle happens to us. Smashing head on and then coming out of it with no more than broken bones. I tell you, it is a miracle.
The light. Ah. Ah. That is good. Only simple lanterns, but quite adequate, you will agree.
Doctor, whatever your name is, I am Captain of Aviation, an active duty for the command.
I told you. I know.
Then you know your duty. Set my legs. Do you hear me?
What is your business, gentlemen?
But you said you knew who I was. My identification papers. You said
it. Yes, I said I knew who you were. But what is your business, gentlemen?
Aviators. I'm captain of...
Yes, a captain. But what is your business, captain?
He wants to know what we do, Victor.
What is your business, gentlemen?
What is any aviator's business?
To fly. But why do you stand there talking? My leg broken. Fix them.
Did you stop to fix the bones, Captain? After you dropped the bombs on them? What do you know of that? Your plane was smashed quite badly, gentlemen. But not completely. Yes, there were two miracles.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
That the crash did not kill either of you. And that one small messenger of your civilization that was strung to the belly of your plane did not blast you to death. Bomb. It fell to the ground undamaged. Unbroken. All of its explosive virility quite intact inside of its metallic loins. Poetic that, eh?
One of my bombs.
Yes. One of your bombs. Quite unhurt.
But I'm hurt. Do you hear me? Fix my leg. Stop the pain.
But why? We here are like you, gentlemen. If bodies are broken, if pain is given, we go our calm way. We do not stop. Good day, gentlemen.
Wait. Marlow, make him wait.
Wait, Doctor.
Doctor, come back. You can't leave me. Come back. I'm hurt. In pain. Help me. Are you crazy?
Yes, Captain. Yes, indeed. I am.
All right, Victoria. All right.
The pain.
It grows less and less. Pain cannot go on forever. My legs are quite numb now. Yours will become that way, too.
That devil.
Strange day, this, huh? You and I were born of the devil to smash up and have a crazy man come to our rescue.
What time is it?
Time? Who knows?
But crazy old fool, Why is he want to talk?
Do not stop asking me why I can't talk. For a night I have been thinking those whys, and I know less than when I started. The man is crazy, that's all. When one is crazy, there are no whys.
You can't keep me here. Not me. I'll kill him.
Wait. Listen.
People.
Yes. Must be a street right below the window.
Get to the window, Marlowe. Get help.
If I throw something through the glass. Yes, the lamp.
No, no, stop.
Huh?
You'll bring that crazy devil up here.
It's our only chance.
No. He'll kill us. Do not throw it.
I will.
Keep it.
Yes, you did. Good, Marlowe. Good. Now, someone will come up here to help us. And that old devil. I will have him put away where he was. Huh? Listen. I throw something through the glass, and everything below becomes quiet.
Why should that be?
Quiet. Listen.
Like someone raising a ladder against the wall.
Yes.
Someone is coming. They're
wait. Why a ladder?
You think it's the
yes.
crazy?
You must have heard the glass breaking. Climbing appears to laugh at us.
No, it can't be him. My legs. I've got to have help. Daniel, I'll
kill you. Stop that. Look. Head coming up. Who?
No. No, it's not the crazy one. A girl.
Yes.
Come in, girl. Come in.
We need your help.
Yes, help. Call the police. Aviators. I am the aviator.
Come in, girl. We will not hurt you.
Don't sit there on the windowsill and stare at us, you fool. Don't you understand? I'm Captain Victor.
Wait, Victor. Wait. You frighten her. Come closer, girl. Closer. Look, my watch. I will give you this watch.
Pretty. You will give it to me?
Yes, of course you will. Give it to her, Marlowe. Here, girl.
Pretty. You have other pretty things for me?
Yes. Here. Rings. My rings. There. Take them. Get help. Get me out of here.
Pretty. Oh, pretty.
You simple little fool. Try to understand. Get me help.
Get me out of here.
Pretty things. I like pretty things.
We'll get you plenty of pretty things. Cover you with them. Just go back the way you came and get help for me. Quickly.
I had so many pretty things.
Yes, but hurry, girl. Go quickly. Get me help.
I want more pretty things.
In my pocket, huh? I see. It hurts her to move. I have nothing. Marlowe, you give her...
Oh, you know I cannot move.
Pretty wings.
Yes, the wings on my tunic. You can have them. Here.
Pretty.
Now go. Do you hear? Go get help.
Will they take these away from me, too?
What is she talking about?
I don't know.
I had so many pretty things. They took everything away. All my pretty things. It dropped from the sky. And when it was gone, everything was gone. Everything was gone.
Stop crying. Who took what away from you?
From the sky. From the sky.
Marlowe. This one's crazy too.
Now, good gentlemen, it is time again to talk.
I'll kill you.
You know, that's why I like you, Marlowe.
Well?
Your captain is so overly dramatic. Kill you, he says to me. It is quite foolish and unnecessary, don't you think so?
You devil, you keeping me here, not getting help. What are you trying to do? Cripple me for life.
I am doing nothing.
What are you going to do with us?
Money. I'll get you money. Just get me out of here. Money. In this community, those silly little pieces of paper and metal are quite useless.
Ah, you're crazy.
True enough. But haven't either of you discovered the greater truth?
Truth? What truth?
That everyone in this community is crazy. Everyone.
Crazy?
Oh, yes, indeed.
It cannot be.
But it is.
No, you. You're the only one.
How many times must I say it? This is my community, and we are all quite mad.
Where are we?
Or normal, all depending on the viewpoint.
Where is this place?
Ah, that's my little secret.
Secret? What do you mean?
It's quite a long way from your civilization, and the high wall circles us. Remember, your airplane crashed into it?
Oh.
You see, my dear gentleman, a long time ago, the people of what was once known as the normal world decided that I wasn't quite normal, so they were going to put me away. But I escaped them. Oh, quite cleverly. And I decided to make a world of my own. That is, a world normal to me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's simple. In a community where all men are mad, none are mad. Understand?
Get us out of here. Quiet, Victor. Listen to him.
Yes, listen to me. What was I saying? Oh, yes. So I discovered this place, and I settled here. But after a while, I grew quite lonely. And I thought to myself, why shouldn't I find others like myself? People the... again, I use the phrase. People the so-called normal world called abnormal. But it was quite difficult to find enough of them. And to get them to come to my little utopia. Until you fixed it.
We? Madman, what have we to do with you?
I mean you and your kind. Remarkable how many people in this world became abnormal as soon as your sort began to... What is the word you use? Enlighten... Oh, yes. Began to enlighten the world.
Marlowe, make him stop talking. No, I want to hear him.
Yes, hear me out. Remarkable how many people became like I am as soon as the enlightenment of brutality and conquest and domination, and above all, the enlightenment of flying bombs came upon them. Oh, I soon had more than enough candidates for my little community. Yes, indeed.
You can't keep us here. No, not me. You can't.
But you surprise me, good gentleman. This is the ideal place for you.
What does he mean?
I mean that here in my little crazy town, we live and love and kill as our fancy strike, without even the necessity of slogans and catchphrases with which to quiet the conscience. Oh, you'll want to stay with us, gentlemen.
Not me. No, I won't stay here, you crazy old devil.
But are you so different, gentlemen?
I'm sane. And so am I.
But your business, Captain. Is it sane to fly the skies, to bring death to creatures made in your own image? To kill women and children?
We do our duty.
No man has a duty beyond what he knows is right. And since you do what you do, it must be because you believe it is right to kill and destroy, with no more reason than the dictum of ambitious, power-mad men. So I assure you, gentlemen, you are one of us. And so you will stay.
No, you can't keep me here. Against our will.
Yes, your legs will mend, so you must want to stay. For if you go and give away our little secret, that would be most unfortunate for the rest of us. Oh, it's very definite, good gentlemen. You must want to stay.
Not in a manner. Not me.
Gentlemen, good gentlemen, you make me weary and angry explaining. I tell you, you and yours are like us. The Prince of Normal Men said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And you say, blessed are they that take with force. So how can you be normal?
If I had a gun.
A gun. Now, that's another thing. The Prince of the Normal said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And you say, blessed are the warmakers. Now, that proves that you're like us.
Stop it, it's out of
here. He said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. But you are the persecutors, good gentlemen, so you are one of us. I welcome you. We all welcome you. Come in, ladies and gentlemen.
Huh? Who are they? Tell us, who are they?
They are like you, the nobility of unreason. They have come to welcome you, gentlemen.
What? So dark. Leaving it for hours. The devil in hell, what is he up to?
Shut your mouth. If I go crazy, it will be you driving me to it.
You know that I'm a crazy one. Bringing us here and leaving us. Planning our death. I know it. Marlow, tell me. What are they up to?
I don't know.
What's that? What?
Someone came into the room.
No. No one.
Listen.
I hear. Who's there? Who's there? Woman.
Yes.
Who are you? What do you want? Vittoria.
What did she say?
I don't know. She... What is it? What? Something in her arms. I can't see anything so dark.
Oh.
I can't see anything so dark.
Oh. No. I'm not afraid of her. The child in her arms.
Oh.
Come closer, woman.
What do you want her for?
She can help us. Closer. Woman, closer.
Woman, stop mourning to that child and listen.
Listen. Help us get out of here, and we'll give you money. We'll get...
Victoria, what?
In her arms.
Look, I can't twist her on my leg.
Woman, get away. Get away.
Victoria, what is it?
In her arms.
You said the child.
No. Woman, get away.
Tell me what?
Bomb.
Here, bomb.
Bomb.
You have gone mad.
No. Now see for yourself, see.
Oh.
Bomb, he stole us from our train without exploding.
Woman, woman, get out of here with that thing. Get out.
Get out with that woman. Get out. You'll set it off.
No, wait. Wait, reason with her. Woman, what are you saying? Why do you carry that bomb?
Baby. My baby.
Baby. No. No, it's a bomb. Do you hear me? A bomb.
Baby.
Put it down. If it goes off, it will kill you.
My baby. My baby. Something fell from the sky, that's it.
Victoria, she's crazy too.
Oh, this is my baby now.
No.
My little baby.
No.
Baby.
Don't touch the percussion head. It will go off. Marlo, get up. Take it away from her. My legs. I can't move. No. Don't touch it, woman. Don't.
Tonight's play, Crazy Town, was especially written for radio by Arch Obler and featured Edmund O'Brien, Charlotte Manson, Paul Stewart, John Brown, and Betty Kane.
From sometime during World War II, there's Arch Obler's plays with Crazy Town. That's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, thanks for listening. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Do radio, I miss you so.
The preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.
KCEA Atherton Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District. Online at kcea.org.
love to sing about the Mooner and the Juno and the Springer. I love to sing about a sky of blue or a T42. Anything with a swing or two, and I love you. I love it too. I really love to sing. Give me a song about the sun, a gun who went and done her wrong, but keep it cleaner with a cottage small by a waterfall. Any sabba that'll throb to a bluebird's call. I love it too, I love it to sing. I was born a singing fool, la-dee-da. Hollywood is gonna spot me. Got through Yale with Bula Bula, la-dee-da. Old microphone's got me. I love to sing, I love to wake up with the south in my mouth, and wave the flag, with a cheer for Uncle Sammy and another for my mammy. I love to sing.
Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Pacific on Big Band 89.1 KCEA.
From me.
Well, all right. Ishka Bebel, even the old professor wants to know.
What's the reason little birds in bed, in a nest, do you know? Does anybody know the answer?
Oh, Ginny, the answer is love. Why does Cupid aim his little dart right at your heart, do you know?
Oh, everybody knows that one, Harry. The answer is love.
What caused the market crash that caused that big depression? What makes the world go round with a dizzy expression? What's the reason little Jack and Jill climbed up the hill? Do you know? Does anybody know the answer? The answer is love.
Anybody know the answer?
Students!
The answer is love.
What's the reason the old granny looks just like baby snooks? Do you know? Does anybody know the answer?
Students!
The answer is love.
Now, a husband and his wife at the start of married life are as happy as pigs in clover. But when a month or two elapse, why do they have scraps?
Because then the honeymoon is over.
What's the reason little kangaroos go round in two? Do you know? Does anybody know the answer?
Students!
The answer is love.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare California's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education.
Learn more about the Sequoia Union High School District at seq.org. That's seq.org.
just a dream that can be heard. Isn't it romantic? Moving shadows ride the oldest magic word. I hear the breezes playing in the trees above, while all the world is saying you are meant for love. Isn't it romantic merely to be young on such a night as this? Isn't it romantic? Every note that song is like a lover's kiss. Sweet symbols in the moonlight, do you mean that I will fall in love perchance? Isn't it romantic? A shower, she can scrub my back. Now isn't that romantic? On a moonlight night, she'll cook me onion soup. Kitties are romantic, and if we don't fight, we soon will have a truce. We will help the population. It's a duty that we owe to dear old friends. Isn't it romantic?